Well, friends, we turn together to God's Word and to that chapter that we read in the New Testament, the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians in chapter 3. We'll read just now from verse 9. We'll read from 9 to 15. I'm going to narrow things down just a little bit more than that, but to get the wide context here from verse 9, we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And particularly, perhaps, we can take as our connecting link what we find there at the end of verse 10. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. In the earlier part of the chapter, which we read together, we saw that the apostle has compared the work of the gospel in general and the work of our own spiritual lives in particular to a field. A field in which there's planting, there's watering, and there's growing. Now that sort of illustration lends itself well, doesn't it, to the Christian life and to the work of the gospel. We have planting all the way on until at last we come to harvest. But then in verse 9, the apostle moves from that first illustration to another illustration. And he's no longer like a farmer growing his crop. He's a builder. And again, this second illustration, it also lends itself well to thinking about spiritual things. Whether we're thinking about the church in general, building up, or our own spiritual lives in particular. Beginning with a foundation, and then upwards and onwards, until at last the whole is complete. God doth build up Jerusalem, we sang, and he gathers the dispersed of Israel into one. The building, of course, first of all, has a foundation, and he deals with that in verse 11. Christ is the foundation on which the Christian church and Christian lives are to be built. I'm not going to speak about the foundation much just now, but perhaps we can just mention in passing some of the features of it. Other foundation, verse 11, can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. What sort of foundation is it? What sort of foundation does the Christian church have? What sort of foundation does a true spiritual Christian man, woman, boy or girl have? Well, there's five things about it, I think, that we could say there. It's a divine foundation. It's not our doing, it's not us that lays any of these foundations. If we lay the foundation, well, it'll come to nothing. It's a divine foundation. It's a unique foundation. There is none like it in all of the world. The Christian is building on something that is entirely unique. The Christian church is built on something that is entirely unique. It's divine. It's unique. It's also enduring. Some foundations, they don't last very long, do they? You see some buildings, they fall. Well, this foundation, it's enduring. It's reliable. You can depend on it and you can build on it. You come to trust in Christ, you can rely on him Isn't that the message continually of the Word of God? That you can cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. It's reliable and it's indispensable. If verse 11 is saying anything, it's saying that other foundation can no man lay. Whatever we can do without, we cannot do without the Lord Jesus Christ. Children, you're young, some of you. There's many things you need in this world. Things you need every day, isn't there? Food, clothes, all the rest of it. But there is one thing that you need above all of the rest, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Other foundation can no man lay other than that that is laid. He's warning them. In the light of death and judgment and eternity, to depend on nothing else but Christ Jesus and Him crucified. But then, in the next verses, and this is really what I want to get to today, he moves from the foundation to the building. You can't stay at the foundation forever. You know, when you go past building sites, you see there's work and there's diggers and they're digging down into the earth. And you realize they're laying the foundation. And then they come in and there'll be concrete laid and everything is laid and everything is flat and everything is ready, isn't it? But it can't just stay like that. When you next drive past that site, the building is going up. The walls beginning to be built. The frame is appearing. And slowly up it goes. Well, it's the same for the Christian church. There is a foundation. But it didn't stop at the foundation. Praise God, it didn't stop at the foundation. It is being built onwards and upwards. And it's the same for the Christian life. There's a unique, wonderful, enduring foundation. But where God begins a good work, He will bring it on, we're told. And that work, the Christian life, onwards and upwards it goes. But just as he warned us in verse 11 about getting the foundation right, in these next verses, he tells us that we must be careful how we build, and particularly what materials we use. How are we to build up the Christian church? How are you to build it up here? How are you to build up your own Christian lives? Does it matter? Yes, says the apostle here, it matters a great deal. It's crucial the foundation is right. But it's equally crucial that the rest of the work as it goes on is right. And you notice that in verse 12, he mentions six materials. And we can divide the six materials into two groups of three. And children, probably you can see the way they divide. Look at the list there in your own Bibles. The first one is gold. What's the next one? Silver. Well, gold and silver, they go together, don't they? So we'll put them into that first category. And then he says precious stones. He probably means marble there. That's what most commentators, I think that is, because you wouldn't really build with rubies or diamonds. It's probably marble and things like that. So they go together, don't they? Gold, silver, marble. That's a group. But then what does he say? Look in your Bible there. Wood. Well, that's different now, isn't it? I think we'll have to have a second group. Then there's hay. Well, that's completely different to gold and silver, isn't it? And then there's stubble or straw. I think we'll have to put these last three into a separate group, won't we? So we have this first group, and it's gold and silver and marble. And then we have this second group, wood, hay, and straw. And the apostle is saying, as you build up the Christian church, as you build and go on in your own Christian lives, be very careful, not just about the foundation, but about how you're building and what you're building with. And there's two categories. You can use this, or you can use the other one. Take care, as it says in verse 10, let every man take care how he builds thereupon. Now you might be thinking, well, I wouldn't build much with straw. But who uses gold and silver in a building? There's no gold or silver in this building. No gold and silver in any of the buildings round about. You go back to your own house, I'm pretty sure you won't find any gold or silver, and probably not much marble either, in any of these buildings. Who uses gold and silver in a building? A king would use gold and silver, wouldn't he? You remember in the Old Testament, King Solomon, and he's building his own house, he's building the temple for the Lord as well, and he uses the very best of materials. The king would use gold and silver and precious stones. And in verse 16, the apostle reminds us, if we need reminding, that the Christian church isn't something ordinary. It's not something commonplace. It's something extraordinary. And the Christian life isn't something ordinary. It's the king's work. It's the king's building. And because it is, we will not be surprised if we find the very finest of materials, if we find gold and silver and precious stones in that building, because a greater than Solomon is here. You build spiritually, says the apostle, as though you were building a palace, as though you were building Solomon's palace. And that applies whether we're thinking of the work of the Christian church in a general way or our own spiritual lives in the most particular and personal way. Let every man take care how he builds thereupon. It's very obvious that the apostle then is making a contrast here. The first three materials are suitable for a palace, for a temple, for something that belongs to the king. You would have gold there. You would have silver there. You would have marble and the best of materials. But the second group, remember we divided the materials into two, didn't we? The second group, you remember what it was? Wood, hay, straw. That wouldn't be suitable. You wouldn't build a palace with straw and hay. Or you'd have some wood in it, but it wouldn't just be wood, would it? Wouldn't be much of a palace if it was just wood. And in the next verses he's going to speak, and I'll come to that in a moment, to the day when all these materials are tested, and only some of them are going to pass the test. Well, that is an outline and a structure of what we have here in the passage. And having spent quite a bit of time working on that, I want now to draw from that three particular lessons. And I'll spend most of my time on the third one. First of all, there's a message here for the Christian church in every age. A message for the Christian church in every age. We have a foundation to build on. We saw that in my comments on verse 11. We have got to be faithful to that foundation. We've got to be careful how we build on that foundation. And there's a thousand applications to this, you know. Let's just touch on one or two. Let your practice as a church be biblical. This is what it says to the Christian church in every age. Let our practice be biblical. Let God's word be your guide. How you worship, for instance. People will say, well, these things don't matter and they're secondary. No, they're not. Not at all. Let your doctrines and practices be regulated by the word of God. Let your witness to the world, the message that you send out there to the world, be one that is based on and lined with the word of God. Not the wood and the hay and the stubble of changing ideas and changing fashions. These things come, these things go. Not the wood, the hay and the stubble of man's ideas. You build the Christian church, the Lord is saying, with the gold and the silver and the marble of truth, not the wood and the hay and the stubble of error. Let the church in every generation take heed. There's a message here for the Christian church in every age. Secondly, there's a message here for every gospel preacher. Now, I'm taking preacher here in the widest sense because all of us bear witness to the things of God. Some are, of course, ordained to the ministry of the word. Others will take meetings from time to time. Others still will speak the word of God in their own lives and in your daily witness. Let what we say, whether it's preaching in the highest and strictest sense, or whether it's just the teaching of our lives and word, let it be the best. Let it always be the best. Don't be tempted to do otherwise. And we often are tempted to do otherwise, aren't we? Major on the gold. The gold of Christ and Him crucified. Speak much, whether you're in the pulpit preaching or whether you're simply speaking a word to those who are around you. Speak much of Christ. Speak of sin and Christ as the sinner's refuge and the sinner's remedy. Bring to those who are in your hearing the gold and the silver and the marble of God's word. And not the wood and the hay and the straw of man's ideas. I say to myself, focus much on the preaching of the word and the solemnity of God's word. So, there's a message there to the Christian church in every age. There's a message there to the preacher. But thirdly, and this is really where I've been trying to get to, there's a message here for every single gospel hearer. There's a message here for every single gospel hearer. We're all different, aren't we? Even Christian believers, Christian lives, our own circumstances, they're all different. And you know, the text reflects that. But no matter what differences there might be, the Lord is saying to us here that we are to build with what is solid. Build with what is precious. Build with what is worthwhile. Remember, you are building a palace. Remember, you are engaged in the work of the King. Remember, you are engaged in the greatest things in this universe. And it's so easy to lose sight of that. You know, life has a way of, I was going to say overwhelming. It's not really the word I'm looking for, but in a way it probably is quite a good word. It does overwhelm us. It crashes in on us. And we lose sight of spiritual things very easily, at least I do. And the Lord is calling us back this Lord's Day. And He's saying to us, take care how you build. Take care how you build. As you build upwards in your own Christian life, seek by God's help to build what will be beautiful. Gold and silver and marble, it is beautiful. It catches your eye. People come a distance to see it. Let there be an outward beauty to your Christian life, not the wood, the hay and the stubble that turns people away and that people wouldn't glance twice at. Let there be a beauty by God's grace to your Christian life. Let there be something about it that stands out, that sticks out, a mile. Build what is beautiful. Build what is useful. Something built with straw isn't much use. Remember the story of the three little pigs. One of them builds with straw and it doesn't last very long, does it? There's a huff and a puff and it falls down. Build what is useful and lasting. Seek by God's grace to be useful wherever the Lord has placed you in this world. In other words, don't be lazy in your spiritual life. Don't be careless in your spiritual life. Don't try and cut corners in your spiritual life. It's very easy to do that. Well, verses 13 to 15 are warning us that the day is coming when every man's work shall be made manifest. These verses, they're so solemn. It's going to be revealed. It's going to be tried by fire. Now, he goes on to tell us that if you're a Christian, of course you won't be lost. But at the end of the day, you may have very little to show for years of Christian living. Oh, he's saying, build what will be beautiful. What will be enduring? What will be real? What will be lasting? Use your energies well. Use your time well. Use every talent the Lord gives you well. Let every man take care how he builds thereon. Not just when you're sitting here in the Bethel Hall, but tomorrow when you're out and about in life. And by midweek when you're starting to tire and flag and when problems are coming at you from all sorts of different directions, you remember to build well, to work well, to press on with all your energy and all the best that you can. For you are building for eternity itself. And soon, a few years, a few winters, a few decades, it will all be gone. This is it. This is life. This is real. This is not a dress rehearsal. We pass this way but once. Let every man take care how he builds thereon. How are you building for eternity? I've been speaking mainly this morning to Christians, haven't I? But oh, it comes to every one of us. It challenges us however we are. Children, you've already started building for eternity. Oh, you say, I'm too young to be building for eternity. No, you're not. You are already building for eternity. How are you building? Is Jesus Christ the foundation you're building on? Well, you say, I believe it is. I believe I trust in the Lord Jesus. Well, that's good. But as you go on and as you get older, you build, you give all your best for your soul. Maybe you're saying, well, if I'm honest, I don't think Jesus is the foundation. And I don't think I am building really spiritually. I don't think I'm making any headway. Oh, friends, we're all heading into eternity, isn't it? Isn't that a truth? Building on Christ, the solid foundation, and building with the solid materials of the gospel. Now, why might we be tempted not to build with the solid materials of the gospel? Why might any Christian be tempted to build with wood, hay, and stubble? Why does the Apostle Paul say this? Can I give you three reasons? First of all, wood, hay, and stubble are relatively cheap. They're relatively cheap. If you use these materials, you'll keep the price down. You imagine somebody and they're going to build a house. And two builders come along and they give a quote. And one builder says, well, it'll cost quite a bit, but we'll use good materials. And then along comes another builder and he says, I can do it for much less. You'll save thousands. But then you examine what he's going to use. It's not good material. Yes, gold and silver and marble will cost you, but beware of cheap religion. Beware of cheap religion that costs little in terms of time, that costs little in terms of commitment, that costs little in terms of anything else. What does the Lord Jesus Christ say? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. That's gold, that's silver, that's marble. That's not wood, hay, stubble. Beware of what is cheap. Beware of what costs little. The Christian church has to beware of it as it goes on in the work of the gospel. We can introduce things into worship and they're relatively cheap. But as we build the Christian church, and it's hard going at times. It's hard going up there in the sky. It's hard going down here in Ayrshire. I know. And we're tempted at times to cut corners. But build with what is best. Wood, hay, and stubble are relatively cheap. Secondly, wood, hay, and stubble lie to our hand. They're easy to find. There's plenty of hay and straw. Just need to go out into the countryside there into rural Ayrshire. You'll find a farmer. He'll sell you some straw. He'll give you some bales of hay. And wood, well, there's no great shortage of wood either. But gold, that's hard to find. Silver, marble, oh, that's hard to find. You need to seek it out. You're not going to find it. You just hop in the car and say, well, we might see some gold along the road. No, you won't. You'll have to go and search for it. Oh, don't build for eternity. With just the things that lie to your hand, you're building for eternity. Seek out the best materials. And it'll be hard work. And it'll involve prayer. It'll involve the study of God's Word. But seek out what is best. The gold and the silver of Christ and Him crucified. The enduring marble of God's work within your soul. Oh, search out and seek out. All of this is saying, give of your time and your talents and your everything as you press on in the Christian life. We're tempted because wood, hay, and stubble are relatively cheap. And we are tempted many a day to take the cheap option and the quick shortcut. There are no shortcuts. We're tempted because wood, hay, and stubble lie to hand. Doesn't take as much effort. And we're tempted, thirdly, because wood, hay, and stubble are relatively common. Don't try to fashion your religious life by what is common. Lest it be of the wood, hay, and straw variety. The Bible encourages us to find out what is uncommon, what is unique, and what is found in only one location. Wide is the gate and broad is the way. Many there be that go in thereat. But straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Don't let the direction of your Christian life be governed and directed by much that is common and goes for the broad Christianity of our day. Oh, let it be the gold and the silver and the marble. Let it be the best and the enduring. Because there is a day coming when God will examine and judge. Fire here in these verses is a symbol of judgment and it's a symbol of scrutiny. And just as the goldsmith tests his material in the fire, so God in verses 13 there is going to test us. What there will there be to show? Oh, you say it's tough being a Christian. It's tough. It's tough being consistent. It's tough pressing on. Ah, yes. But when it passes through the fire, what a blessing. If there's something to show to the glory of God, to the good of those around us, for the comfort of our own souls. I mentioned at the beginning these three little pigs. Some of them were tempted to take shortcuts, weren't they? Build with straw, it'll be fine. And the wolf soon shows it wasn't fine. Build with wood, it'll be fine. It'll do. And the wolf comes along. Didn't do, did it? Build with stone. Build on a good foundation. And the wolf comes. And it stands. And there is one who goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And if we are relying over much on the flimsy materials of wood, hay, and stubble, all we may suffer great loss. But if we are building by God's grace with what is real and enduring and strong, then by that same grace, it will stand and it will endure. Young Joseph lands in Egypt as a teenager. How is he going to build? It would be very easy for him to build with wood, hay, and stubble. He's far from home. Father's eyes aren't on him. Brother's eyes aren't on him anymore. He can relax, he can take it easy, he can compromise with the Egyptians, he can compromise even with Potiphar's wife. Who's going to see? Who's going to know? Wood, hay, stubble, it'll do. But what do we find about young Joseph? Oh, it's gold. It's silver. It's precious stones. Committing himself to the Lord, walking the narrow way of life, even when it costs him his liberty, even when he ends up in jail. We know how it ends, don't we? The Lord honored that man, that lad. Then there's Samuel. There he is in the temple as a young lad. How's he going to build? How's he going to build the religious life of Israel when he becomes a prophet and the leader? Is it going to be the wood, the hay, and the stubble? That was enough for Eli's sons. It'll do. Any old thing will do. No, not for Samuel. It's going to have to be gold. It's going to have to be silver. It's going to have to be precious stones. And the Lord honors that. And then there's Paul himself. How's he going to build? Is he going to build congregations here and there in places like Corinth and other places? How's he going to build upwards in his own soul? Wood, hay, stubble, it'll do. No, he says, take care how you build. And by God's grace, it's gold and silver and precious stones. And he writes to Timothy as he comes to the end of the building. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the perfect judge, shall give me at that day, and not unto me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. I have fought the good fight. I have built us by God's grace alone with gold and silver and precious stones. For every man's work will be tried by fire. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Indeed. Well, may God bless his word. Let's unite together in prayer. We give thanks, eternal Lord, for that one foundation, unique, enduring, and steadfast. And we give thanks for this warning about building, that we are to use only the best, whether we are building the Christian church in its outward manifestation, or whether we are thinking about our own spiritual lives. We are tempted, Lord, to resort to wood, hay, and stubble, to take what is relatively cheap and costs little, to take what is commonplace and just do what everybody else does and drift along with the tide. Help us, Lord, to see that we are building for eternity and that it will all be tried by fire. Help us by grace to turn from the wood, the hay, and the stubble, and to build upwards with gold and silver and precious stones, to regard as we should regard the things of God as of first and primary importance. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Bless us, Lord, throughout the day, and forgive us our many sins, especially in holy things, for Jesus' sake. Amen.